Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Live. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Tuesday. Welcome in on Wednesday. Excuse me. I don't even know what day it is. That is a great start to this show. I don't even know what day it is to get things going. Try again. Here we go on a Wednesday. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. During baseball season, when I don't know what day it is, I have a perfectly good excuse because every day is the same. I don't have an excuse today. I just don't know what day it is. Welcome in. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or for those of you who are watching on the video stream, feel free to leave a comment in the chat, and we'll address some of those as we go along this evening. A bunch to get to today. We'll continue that Cardinals conversation that we had going on during Rush Hour Sports. I think the idea of what this roster could look like and who could potentially be removed from the roster beyond the names that we've spent so much time talking about, basically beyond Arenado, Burleson, Gorman, Donovan, Nootbaar. Like Arenado plus those four left-handers, where the thought process has always been, you're probably going to move on from Arenado and then one or two of those other guys are going to get moved. But where else are there areas where you could move on from guys and you can get something okay in return for them? It's not going to be this super impactful type guy versus, which of these guys do you want to have stick around? So we'll continue that conversation moving forward. Bernie Miklas is going to join us. So in less than 10 minutes, he had a really good column yesterday talking about the Cardinals' ability and historical The fact that they've been a draft and develop team. They got away from it in recent years. They are trying to return to it. But he went very deep into the history of that. I want to talk to him a little bit about that. And also, he had a video that ran today on what Heim Bloom should be looking to accomplish. So we're going to talk through some of that with Bernie Miklas later on. Other guest on the program today, Jerry Palm, is going to join us next hour. We'll talk both college football and college basketball with Jerry. Our friend Joe Roderick from STL Sports Central will join us at 7:35. We'll play back some cuts from Blues coach Jim Montgomery. We'll try to get those in just before they get started tonight. The Blues are in action this evening, and they're going to get started probably in about a half hour or so. So when we get done with Bernie, we'll play for you a little bit of what Jim Montgomery had to say. And then also today was a big day for City SC. Today was the official introduction of their new sporting director. And we I don't know what to expect here moving forward, but I think from a, you know, most individuals do win the press conference. But I think Corey Ray today certainly won the press conference when speaking for the first time as a city sporting director. Hopefully we can get him on this show at some point in the relatively near future. I'm sure he is juggling a whole bunch of things here at the moment, but we'll try to get him on sooner than later to be able to talk with us about some things. But yeah, certainly looking forward to seeing what he can do with this team and how it's going to look different moving forward. I think it is going to look a little bit different. And I think he also, you know, much like what Heim Bloom has been doing with the Cardinals of trying to augment the infrastructure, bring in a lot of new people, the Cardinals have been woefully understaffed for a number of years. Just hearing a little bit of what Ray had to say today, it gives me the sense that there's some areas that City does not have covered in terms of scouting and some other things. And from the sporting side, they could use an infusion of some other individuals. seems like he's got the go-ahead to find those people, and we'll see what that ends up looking like moving forward. But that's going to be an important part of what they're trying to do. It's not just Ray trying to accomplish things. He's got to have a staff that he very much trusts. So we'll see how that all plays out here over the next, I don't know, next year, next 2 years. I don't know how long it's going to be for City to be able to turn things back around. I think people in St. Louis saw what they did in the first year of existence and said, well, it shouldn't be that hard to get things going again. And MLS is in a spot where you can kind of turn on a dime. That's just the way their system is. I don't know if City is set up for that or not, but we'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll hear from Corey Ray coming up in just a while. As always, if you want to join in on the program, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Or for those of you who are watching on the video stream, you can just leave a comment on the chat, and we'll try to address some of those as we go along through the evening. We've got you till 8 o'clock this evening, full two-hour show. More two-hour shows than not this week. We'll have a short show tomorrow for SLU basketball, and then I think we're back with you for a full 2 hours on Friday night. So three of our five shows this week are full two-hour shows. And you know, we're only about a month away now from Countdown to Opening Day show returning to KMOX and across the Cardinals radio network. That will start at the Baseball Winter Meetings. Baseball Winter Meetings will be December 8th through the 11th. So tomorrow is going to be 4 or 5 weeks away from the first edition of the Countdown to Opening Day show. So World Series gets over. Free agency opens up. We got a question earlier from Justin asking if I think that the Cardinals are going to, do team sign players after free agency opens tomorrow? Generally, not much. It's not like the NBA or the NFL where free agency opens and boom, teams start to get really active. It takes a long time. Sometimes it's after the winter meetings that things really pick up. So if you're going to get excited about free agency opening up tomorrow, because it's 5 days after the World Series, I would tell you, you can probably find something better to do with your time and with your emotions, because in all likelihood, it's not going to result in much happening. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, our friend Bernie Miklas will join us in just a moment as we roll on with a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Have you till 8 o'clock this evening. It is that time of the week where we're very happy to welcome on a guy here all the time here on KMOX, where it's Rush Hour Sports, Gas House Gang, Sports on a Sunday Morning, Glover Show, Kristen, he's all over the place. He is Bernie Miklas, of course. You read him and you watch him at STL Sports Central. Bernie, always appreciate you taking some time. How are you?
I'm doing good, Matt. Always great to be with you, Pally.
So I enjoyed your column yesterday, and just to kind of set this up, you read, and I found the blog post or the story that you you referenced, and it was an individual basically said the Cardinals don't have much of a track record when it comes to drafting and developing, so they shouldn't even do it anymore. And you pushed back in a way that is so unique to you, and you put a ton of time into a column. It was fun to read yesterday, because I don't know if the young man who wrote the I found that piece. I copied and pasted your little snippet and found the thing, but it was really good yesterday. I enjoyed enjoyed your clap back, I guess we could call it.
Yeah, you know, here's the deal, right? I'm not trying to be the media sheriff. I'm really not. I got my own flaws, lots of them. But maybe it's because, and this is self-serving, I apologize. Maybe it's because I do so much research and I do some homework, a lot of homework, because I want to be right. I want to know what I'm talking about. I don't make these sweeping generalizations without, you know, backing them up with substance. So it always bothers me. Listen, man, there's plenty of stuff over the last, you know, 10 years or so to rip the Cardinals about. Plenty of stuff. And I would never say a peep about it. I've ripped the Cardinals a lot. I'm very disappointed the way they let the farm system, player development system slide, the way they were kind of stuck in the middle. They were kind of competing, but not really going all in. You know, there's been a lot of things that have been really, really frustrating with them. But that's why I don't understand why to express some disdain for the Cardinals, you know, you have to like throw something out there that is a completely false premise. You know, I don't get that. Like, what's the point of that? You know, like, in other words, you don't have to make stuff up. Go with the stuff that's actually got a foundation. And, you know, this gentleman, you know, he actually said the Cardinals have never truly been a player development franchise. What? They invented player development. A guy named Branch Rickey, right? You know, I'm sure George Kissel's rolling over. Yeah, tell his family that they weren't into player development. I mean, and you know, the and I've heard fans say this, though, too. I've heard other media people say, well, you know, but they had all these stars. And, you know, they got these stars from other teams. Yeah, because they traded their own prospects. In other words, since when does trading prospects for Jim Edmonds, Scott Rolen, Mark McGwire, Matt Holliday, so on and so forth, since when is that like, well, that doesn't count? I mean, the beautiful thing about having a terrific player development system is that the guys that, you know, you want to use that can fill roles on your team and be starters, well, you have them. But if you have a surplus or you're at a position where maybe some good prospects don't fit, well, they have value as trade pieces. So why are we dismissing that as if it's bogus or something? Well, they got Matt Holliday in a trade. Okay, they didn't develop him, but people they did develop were used in the trade to get him. Yeah. Tell me what the damn difference is.
There's not a real difference of significance. And from a big picture standpoint, I have this conversation with my dad a lot because he'll send me stuff sometimes from some of these sites and I'll go, Dad, you can't be reading this. This is not great. And we live in a world where, look, there are plenty of writers, bloggers, whatever you want to call them, who are fantastic young individuals who are maybe trying to get into the business or who are very smart and, you know, do something else for a living but have a passion about writing for the Cardinals. And they're on these sites and they're great. And I know you know many of those individuals, but on those exact same sites, there's people who don't have that sort of passion to go do the research. And even, you know, something like the Sporting News, which used to be such a great, great, great publication and, you know, based here in St. Louis, now it's turned into something where sometimes they're using AI and, you know, there's a lot of kind of probably unpaid type people who are just writing stuff. It's a really weird area in media that we're in right now because there's so many more avenues for people to go out and have a voice, but sometimes it's people that shouldn't have a voice and then they're impacting what other people are thinking.
Yeah, and I was like, I'll give you an example and then I'll shut up about it, but I appreciate your insight into this too. You know, if you go in like 2011 World Series champions, right? Homegrown pitchers, guys they drafted and developed, they handled 44% of the innings in that postseason. But if we include pitchers on the Cardinals in 2011 that they acquired by trading prospects to get them, 67% of the innings pitched in the 2011 postseason were done by either their own prospects or someone they got because they traded their own prospects. And then in 2011, the postseason, internally developed hitters took 55% of the plate appearances. Now, if you add Matt Holliday, again, they traded prospects for him. 64.5% of the plate appearances were taken by guys that they drafted, developed, or they traded for by sending prospects to get them. So why, you know, why is somebody writing? They've never been a true player development team. What?
Yeah, I mean, it's wacky.
Seriously, it's just absurd. So anyway, and I think I sound like the old guy here now, but
no, it's okay.
I think what it is, you know, everyone's got to be the tough guy. Everyone's got to make a splash on Twitter. You know, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to say Cardinals have never really been a player development franchise. You know, it's this compulsion to show that you're tough or something that leads to, in my opinion, a lot of mistakes and some irresponsible stuff. That's why you don't see me banging away on X all the time, running my mouth. I just don't do it. Because a lot of times it's heat of the moment, you're overreacting to something, and what's the point with that? Because a game can change two innings later, right?
Yeah. No, it can. And you know, to the player development thing, nobody criticizes the Brewers for not being a player development organization. I think we look up to what they do, but we look at that roster this year, that was largely a roster of major league acquisitions, whether it was trades, whether it was picking guys up off of waivers, like a lot of sort of under the radar type moves that they didn't have a whole lot of homegrown talent producing. They had some, but nobody ever looks at them and goes, "Oh, they're bad at developing talent," just because maybe that roster didn't have a ton of it.
Right, that's exactly right. Listen, smart front offices or smart operations, they find any number of ways to do a really good job getting talent. You know, they can trade for it. They can develop in their own. They can sign value-free agents. But the Cardinals, this is why I was kind of shocked. And frankly, I'm surprised so many people seem to believe this. You know, the Cardinals lost their way. I mean, they really, really fell apart in terms of developing their own pitching. But if you look at the teams they had, even starting in 2009, let's just say through 2015, 2019 with Jack Flaherty, if you look at all the young starting pitchers they had who were big-time guys as far as forming the spine of that rotation and all of the great young relievers they had, you know, Rosenthal, Segrist, Jason Mott was one of their guys. I mean, all of these killer Carlos Martinez, who was great in the bullpen as a young guy, huge, huge factor in those postseasons. So I don't know how anyone – see, it's not like that happened in 1934, right? I don't know how anyone who watched Cardinals baseball during that time, not all that long ago, are not – what's the word? Not informed or not cognizant of the fact that young, homegrown, developed starting pitching and bullpen guys were huge in the success over that great time for Cardinals baseball.
Yeah,
and they lost their way. They let it lapse. And so John Mozeliak had to go out there every winter trying to hustle and scramble for starting pitching because they weren't developing their own.
We're talking with Bernie Mikolas. Last thing for you before we get you out of here for the day. I saw earlier today on social media that some of the betting markets have Eli Drinkwitz now as the betting favorite to land the Penn State job. What's your gut feeling say right now? And again, this is something that I won't hold you to it. Things change at any given moment. But right now at 6:30 p.m. on November 5th, what's your gut feeling that Drink is still coaching Mizzou next year?
You know, there's a couple guys that are in the media, is SEC based. You know, Andy Staples is one of them. I've known him a long time. He really knows where all the bodies are buried, so to speak. And he's a Florida guy. In fact, he was a walk-on football player under Urban Meyer there. So Andy Staples has been saying, you know, that if Lane Kiffin is out of the market for Florida, the guy that really makes the most sense for Florida is Eli Drinkwitz. Now, the Penn State thing, I'm not sure about. In other words, I read people that I think are really good media insiders there that know what they're talking about, and they're kind of all over the map. That's not a I'm not being critical. I'm just saying there doesn't seem to be a consensus. But I think generally speaking, based on media people that I trust, that if Kiffin's not going to be a factor for the Florida job, I don't think there's any doubt that Drinkwitz will certainly be a prominent factor. That doesn't mean, oh, yeah, they're going to hire him. But he'll be right there as far as the list of runner-up candidates. He might be at the top of the list. Who knows?
It's going to be fascinating to watch this whole thing play out with Mizzou, both from a coaching situation, from a, you know, the first college football rankings are out. They were in. If they win a bunch of games, which seems not totally likely. There's still a path for them to get to the playoff. There's just there's some unsettled waters, I guess you could say, right now when it comes to Mizzou football.
Well, there really is. And I listen, I know this, and this is from my friend Randy Carricker, who's got great contacts. The Mizzou money people are there and they're ready. They've already prepared to do whatever it takes financially to keep Drinkwitz. So the effort will be made. But maybe he will see, like, hey, I got a better chance to win a national championship if I'm at Florida than Missouri. And there's some validity to that, given the fact that Florida's won three of them with Spurrier and Urban Meyer, which not that long ago, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is a valid thing to say that the ceiling, the highest potential ceiling at Florida is higher than the highest potential ceiling at Mizzou. I don't think that's a crazy thing to say.
No, not at all. And the one thing about Drinkwitz that has a widespread appeal, and I know this is true of Penn State because I did read something about this and they were pretty adamant about it. James Franklin was not good at the NIL. He was ambivalent. And the transfer, the NIL was fine. I misspoke. He wasn't really good. He wasn't really fired up about the transfer portal. And Penn State surprisingly really didn't do all that great with that. Drinkwitz was ranked seventh this past offseason in the transfer portal. And he's one of the very best in college football at it. And so programs that are sleeping giants, or they have been giants, but they're sleeping now. Part of it is they don't exploit every avenue to get talent the way that Eli Drinkwitz does. So that makes him extra attractive to those programs. Plus he can fire up the fans because he runs his mouth. He's colorful. He's got a lot of energy, you know, that kind of thing. He can actually market the program that he coaches.
He is Bernie Miklas. You hear him all over here on KMOX. Read his daily columns and watch his daily videos over at STL Sports Central.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Welcome back in. Blues at Capitals tonight, just getting underway. Let's listen in to a little bit of what Jim Montgomery had to say prior to this evening's game. As the Blues, they have been playing better hockey here of late as they won their last time out, which was very good to see. It ended a 7-game losing streak, and even in their two losses leading into this last game, you could certainly see some better things that were happening. And Montgomery did say when speaking today in front of today's game that certainly things are moving in the right direction.
The team game is built in the right way. We've gotten significantly better defensively, which, you know, the beginning of the year, our first 9 games was not good enough. Left our goalies out to dry. We've really shored that area up, and you're starting to see more puck possession. You see us making more plays because we're creating turnovers, which is helping our offense.
I thought this was interesting because at the end of the day, what's it about? It's about winning, right? It's wins and losses, but there are things that you want to do to get to those wins. And sometimes you can play well, and it doesn't result in a win. And you can deal with that for a little while. Eventually, you have to get the win. So he talked a bit more about, especially looking at those 2 games prior to the last one, where the team was playing better, but they weren't getting a W next to their name, how he goes about kind of reconciling between acknowledging playing better, but also needing to find wins.
You got to get results. Yeah. We've made a lot of game management mistakes that have led to some of our demise. And then, like I said, first 4 games was rush defense. Next 4 games was D-zone coverage. So there has been a lot of our own doing here. But since then, I think, you know, of the last three games, we lost two, but we should have been in a better situation. But that being said, now we got to dig out of it, and we're going to win some games we shouldn't have. Balances out every year. But for us, we got to become consistently competitive and consistently hard to play against at both net fronts.
Dalibor Dvorsky had his first goal the other night on the power play, and that was the first goal after the team got down by a 2-0 score. And he's an exciting player. There's a lot of young prospects in this organization, but right now seeing both Dvorsky and Snuggerud on the team together, they play on the power play together, it's really, really fun. And Montgomery feels like Dvorsky's really starting to show who he is.
Well, I think I'm already seeing it out there because he let two backhanders go right on the goal line that hit the crossbar today on tough plays, and both sequences were on two-on-ones, and I just whispered to myself, those are great hands. So we're just starting to see a little bit of what he's going to become.
Coming into tonight's matchup, there were just some small tweaks when it comes to the lineup. Nathan Walker reinserted into the lineup. He's the fourth wing right winger, along with Nick Bjugstad and Alexei Toropchenko on that line. And then Logan Mailloux back in there as well. He's on that third defensive pairing. He's been paired up with Cam Fowler. And speaking about those two guys and the reason for them coming back in, obviously Montgomery wants to be able to use his roster as much as he possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, we think it's important against a team like Washington. You have some physicality, and both those guys bring physicality. And we don't want guys sitting out too long. And, you know, both of them are big parts of our team this year and for the future.
So back-to-back, Jordan Binnington gets the starting goal today. It's going to be Joel Hofer getting the start coming up tomorrow. When you look at Binnington and what he has accomplished over his career, being the guy that's been in there more than any other goalie in Blues history, Montgomery feels like it's something that probably should be talked about a little bit more. Just really remarkable what Binnington has been able to do over his career with the Blues.
It's pretty incredible, you know, and you think about it, I don't think he played a game in the NHL until he was 25. So it's incredible that he's getting most games played by a goaltender in a organization that's had Curtis Joseph, Grant Fuhr, Mike Liut, I'm forgetting a couple of others of the legendary goaltenders that have played here. But, you know, that speaks for itself just with those three goaltenders.
And then the final thing is they match up against the Capitals tonight. Montgomery very much expecting a challenge, despite the fact that Washington comes into this game having lost four straight.
Well, you know, the five-on-five, they're really good. Defensively, they don't give a lot of time and space. They play very similar to Florida that way, man-on-man, heavy, double up real quick on any loose pucks. So you're going to have to hold on to pucks. You're going to have to win a lot of one-on-one battles to have any possession time. And then their defensemen jumping up into the rush, Carlson, 6, and Sandin, I think he's 38. Those three really jump in the neutral zone and off breakouts, and we got to be aware of them so that we have four guys back and we can mark them up.
So that's Jim Montgomery speaking in front of tonight's Blues at Capitals game, which is just now getting underway. They're just getting it started, and there is currently no score in Washington. Blues are on a back-to-back as they're going to match up against Buffalo coming up tomorrow night. So you've got Hofer in goal tomorrow, presumably. You generally play two different goalies on the back-to-back. So Binnington going tonight, a Buffalo team that is not especially good. That's pretty standard. Buffalo, it's been a while since they have had a good team. But an opportunity for them to take another step forward tonight. And you really want to win this game if possible this evening just to get a win, but also because of the unknowns that go along with Hofer, where he has really been struggling here recently, and you don't totally know what to expect from him going into tomorrow night's game. But the Blues, it's not like a big ramp up. It's not a big trajectory change. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that all is well now when it comes to the St. Louis Blues, but I think we can, even the most negative folks out there about this team, and there are some people out there, trust me, I talk about this team, and I get accused all the time of being too positive about them, even when they're losing games. I think even the most negative person about this team who doesn't think they're going to go much of anywhere, I think everybody, if you take a step back and you're being truthful about what's going on, they have looked better in the last three games. Has it been good enough? No, of course it hasn't been good enough. They only won one of those three. I'm not trying to tell you that their play in the last three games where they've only won one makes up for everything else that's been going on. But they also haven't reached what most of us thought they were going to be this year. And you hope that they're on that trajectory right now and they're going to get to that point at some point. And I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I do know it is important when you're starting to play better to continue that. Because if you're on a little bit of an uptick and then all of a sudden that uptick goes away, sometimes it's hard to get that back very quickly. You almost go back to square one. So that, again, I'm not trying to overvalue or put way too much importance on a game against an Eastern Conference opponent on November 5th. Like I realize what the stakes are, but all that being said, I do think that this is an important game tonight, as important as a game can be considering the circumstances. We'll take one more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one. And hour number two, we got a busy hour two of the show. We're going to talk with our friend Jerry Palm. That's going to be at 7:20. We're going to talk with Joe Roderick at 7:35. We're going to hear a little bit from the new sporting director for City SC. He was officially introduced in a press conference today, so we'll listen into a bit of what he had to say. There's a lot to get to, so you do not want to go anywhere, but we'll wrap up hour number one of the program in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. Yesterday, the initial college football playoff rankings came out. Again, nothing actually matters until the final college football playoff rankings come out, and we tend to see some wacky things happening on the final weekend, and I'm sure this year is going to be no different. Not a surprise, Big Ten and SEC dominate the top of the rankings. The top six spots come from those two conferences. Top two teams are each from the Big Ten and Ohio State and Tom Ackerman's Indiana squad. And then the next four teams come from the SEC in Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia, and Ole Miss. The top-ranked non-SEC Big Ten team is BYU at number seven, the first of two consecutive Big 12 teams. Texas Tech comes in after that. Some of the other notable placements here, Oregon at number nine. I was talking with Kevin Wheeler. Don't get Kevin Wheeler started on Notre Dame, because Notre Dame comes in at number 10, and that made Kevin Wheeler very angry, just in the sense that Notre Dame hasn't really... I think it's because they lost to his Miami team to start the season in Miami. But Miami has just fallen off here recently, as they tend to do. But Notre Dame started the year 0-2, and they lost close games against Miami and Texas A&M. And actually, you know what? That Texas A&M loss, losing by one against Texas A&M, that looks like an okay loss at this point. But since then, they really haven't played much of anybody. They played USC, who were ranked number 20 when they matched up, and won that game by 10. But they don't have a great resume, but they were put in at number 10 in the rankings. Texas 11, Oklahoma comes in at number 12. Of note, Missouri is at number 22. And I don't expect Missouri to be a college football playoff team this year, but it is also very clear that there is a pathway still for them to get to the college football playoff. And there might even be a pathway with one more loss, depending on what else happens around the nation. So right now, Missouri is sitting as a 6-2 team. If they finish with three losses and one of their losses is against either Texas A&M or Oklahoma, that might not be the worst possible resume. I don't think it's a guarantee, but if some other things happen. But yeah, they've got two more opportunities to pick up wins against ranked teams, again, A&M and Oklahoma. And then they've got two more games that they absolutely should win and be impressive in the way that they do win. They'll match up against Mississippi State, and they'll match up against Arkansas. So those are the four games that are left on the schedule for the year. If they win three of four, that the door is at least ajar. If they win all four, they're in. If they win three of four, I think there is a possibility of them getting in. If we were talking about Alabama or Georgia having the exact same resume, they're probably in. Missouri, unfortunately, probably has a little bit more of a challenge just because of the biases that exist in the world of college football. Missouri is Missouri, and that's part of what they've got to deal with. All right, in hour number two of the program, which begins after the 7 o'clock news, we are going to hear from Jerry Palm. We're going to hear from the new sporting director for City SC, some of what Corey Ray had to say today earlier in his press conference. We'll talk with our friend Joe Roderick. That's all coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere. You're locked to a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.